went to Arizona State.
Right.
I'm a Sun Devil, man.
State of the Sun Devils with Jeremy Schnell, Jesse Morrison, and Mitch Bareldes, an Arizona sports podcast.
Hello and welcome into another edition of State of the Sun Devils alongside Mitch Bareldes. I'm Jeremy Schnell. Breaking news coming out of Sun Devil Land, Mitch.
Sun Devil Land, is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah, the land of the sun, the home of the brave, right?
I don't think those are the lyrics.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, Jaden Rashada seems to be entering the transfer portal, and...
Oh, you mean that guy?
Oh, wait.
And then who's this guy?
Okay, so two...
I think we didn't update the...
We might need to update the TV, the logos, and then if you are watching this podcast... On our YouTube channel, you would have seen the beginning intro video of Jaden Rashada being very prominently featured in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I myself am a video editor here at the station.
I mean, look, it's still good B-roll. We're going to use it until we replace it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I will be making that change.
We got a spring game next week. We could utilize that.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I will not be at the spring game because the Suns will be playing. Either way, burying the lead a little bit, Jaden Rashada entering the transfer portal. It seems as if ASU is not going to retain him out of the transfer portal, and he will be going somewhere else.
So when the reports initially came out, it was set up as he's entertaining a different university to play at. That's kind of how I first gauged it. And then our John Gambadoro with Arizona Sports basically set it up as they were, and by they I mean Arizona State, was very active in recruiting Sam Levitt, and almost to the point that they over-recruited Jaden Rashada. And maybe, and I don't want to assume too much, but the vibe that I'm getting based on Gamble's reporting is that they were very much in the Sam Levitt camp before spring practice rolled around, before Jaden Rashada suffered his thumb injury that kept him out for most of spring practice. And that has now carried into where we are today, which is based off of the reports. And it's not even reports. Rashada has released a statement that he intends to transfer. And there's already inklings that it might be an SEC school. Which, doesn't that sound familiar, Jeremy? The last time that there was a top five-star generational out of high school quarterback coming here.
Yeah, it's like we don't want the same story to kind of repeat itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish Jaden Rashada all the best, but if he turns out like Jaden Daniels, that would be a missed opportunity.
It would be devastating.
It would be
devastating.
Right, and you know, all the best to Jaden Daniels as he continues to go into the NFL draft, and mm-hmm. now Rashada moving forward, but it's now the Sam Levitt era here at Arizona State. It seems as if he is going to be named the starting quarterback moving forward,
mm-hmm.
and we've seen it. We were at spring practice a little bit in the past couple weeks.
He looked really, really good.
He did, and I thought, you know, he looked a lot bulkier than all the other quarterbacks, I would say. He looked more built,
which I think works really well with the fact that he could actually scramble pretty well. And granted, it's just drills. I don't think they were doing anything that, and you would never tackle the quarterback in practice anyway. What am I even hinting at? But the fact that he was as mobile as he was, the fact that he looked as strong as he did, leads me to believe, to your point, that that might have been a bigger reason as to why they're leaning in the direction of Levitt. Because, Jeremy, what was the biggest reason why we didn't get to see the best of Jaden Rashada this past season?
He got hurt.
And I don't want to put it immediately on his slighter frame in comparison, because Rashada's a tall kid. But it's almost comparable to Jaden Daniels. They're even talking about it at the NFL level right now, to mention Daniels really quickly. Jaden is too slight. You worry about him getting hurt and the way he uses his body. And it's almost somewhat similar in this vein to how Rashada is being looked, maybe, perhaps, at least when we are comparing the two of them right now.
And what I would say a little bit about that is, you know, Rashada, after his thumb injury, he came back to practice last week.
He was very much a part of practices even before he was allowed to throw.
Correct. He was doing a lot of the drills as like a walkthrough kind of thing.
Yes.
But what I heard from last week, and we didn't get a chance to go out there, was that he was doing a lot of 11-on-11 drills out there.
Uh-huh.
And
like just starting to do 11-on-11.
What does that tell you, Mitch? It tells you that they were basically doing this as like a, hey, this is it. This is a tryout.
We gotta see
right
what
now.
You've got
that we're not
right
doing
now.
The whole thing of like they did last year of who's the starter going to be leading up until next season. I think Kenny Dillingham wanted to name a starter and he wanted to name him as soon as possible. And it gave also it gives Jaden Rashada time to weigh his options. And he does. Kenny Dillingham does right by a kid who came here, gave the team a chance, gave his father's alma mater a chance. Mm-hmm. And he does right by a kid who is super talented and has a chance to go make some money and play elsewhere.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm reading directly off of Coach Dillingham's Twitter right now. He had two separate quote tweets about Rashada. One that was quote tweeting the news reported by Hayes Fawcett, who's with On3, where he said, someone will be getting an elite talent and a great person. We'll always be rooting for you. That was one. His second quote tweet came with Rashada's official announcement on his social media account. Said, always rooting for you. Go find your spot and go be great like I know you can. Here's something that else that Gambo told me before Burns and Gambo went off the airwaves. And I'm curious your reaction to this. Rashada told Dillingham face to face that he intends to transfer. Here's how I want to ask the question, I guess. Does that lessen the blow of him leaving? The fact that he went face to face?
No, I mean, good on him, right?
That was my reaction too.
I'm good on him, but like at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I mean, like that's what I would do. I'm not going to text my coach that I'm entering the portal.
Like, I joked about it. I was like, it's you're sending a text to break up with her. Like, hey, babe, I'm sorry. It's just not working. I don't know what to do.
Mitch, what are we in middle school? Like, no, that's the right thing to do. Like, yeah, he did the right thing. Good on him. Like, it's not, again, we wish him well. And he did the right thing. He's obviously was raised right by his father and his parents. And, you know, that he did the right thing. Wish him nothing but the best. Last year, let's look at Jaden Rashada's numbers, though.
There's only three games to look at.
Four touchdowns, three interceptions, 485 yards.
And
unknown there.
We're still gawking over some of those touchdown passes. Let's not forget. Like, he had an absolute strike to Elijah Badger against Oklahoma State that I'm still thinking about to this day. The big play is there. I think I saw reports from Chris Cartman, who does a great job with Sun Devil Source, emphasizing how good Sam Levitt has looked in practice, too, specifically on the deep balls. I think he mentioned that Jordan Tyson has also been very involved with Levitt, and I think that chemistry is starting to grow. So back to your point about giving Rashada enough time to find a new place, this is also giving Sam enough time to fully integrate himself as the starter, work with the ones in the spring, and should anybody else be added within the next couple of months, they're already just going to be integrated in a system that very clearly has its quarterback, has a very strong running back room, as we like, has a pretty solid wide receiver room. Very interested to see how the tight end room works out, and very, very interested to see how the offensive line play goes.
It's so crazy because this team has changed so much over the past 4, 5, 6 years. Obviously, it's
changed so much over the last 4, 5, 6 months,
right.
Jeremy.
No, but here, let's think about this. Coaching staffs have changed so many times. Players obviously come in and out, but you know, with the transfer portal age, it happens a lot more nowadays. But think about this. Just a few hours ago, the face of this program was Jaden Rashada. Yep. You can make an argument. The face of this program was Jaden Rashada, and he was the future of this program. Not a lot of people gave Sam Levitt a chance to win this job. They're just like, oh, they're bringing in some good competition because Jaden Rashada last year got hurt, so they want to have a good, solid backup quarterback. No, Levitt won the job.
I think we saw it the same way when this news initially came out, when Levitt was officially announcing himself as a transfer to Arizona State. I think you and I and Jesse saw it kind of the same way that, okay, good. They need help in the quarterback room. The quarterback room was decimated last year. The least they could do is have some competent quarterback play behind them because we did absolutely not get that from Drew Pine. We absolutely did not get that from Jacob Conover. And to a greater extent, we didn't really get that out of Trenton Bourget. We also didn't get it out of Jaden Rashada, but he was hurt. So when the quarterback play was down to literally one guy, and the offense is scuffling, there's not really much you can do. Now they're kind of back to square one. And as excited as I am to see what Levitt can do, they do need to go find another quarterback now.
And that's a good segue, Mitch, because what John Gambadoro is reporting is that ASU will be going out and finding another quarterback
they
in
have
the
to.
Portal.
They have to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand that, you know, At this point, a couple hours ago, we were pretty comfortable with the QB room that ASU had.
It wasn't even a thought that crossed my mind.
No.
Was the state of the quarterback room.
No, but here's what I'll say about it, Mitch. You have a fifth-year, sixth-year senior and whatever Trenton Bourget is. He would be a great third-string quarterback. So ASU needs to go out there and find a good backup quarterback who is willing to sit behind Sam Leavitt. I don't know who that's going to be at this moment.
Does it have to be a transfer?
Well, who else could it be, Mitch?
I just mean in terms of, does it have to be a transfer versus is it late to get a national letter of intent? Like, are we past that window? Because I know we're in the end of April almost.
Yeah, it might be a little too late for that. They got the left-handed kid as well. Like
I think his name is Blanky.
He looked okay. He's not ready though. He's not ready.
That's walk-ons for mm-hmm. you with respect to Brisson, because he did look pretty solid on a couple of attempts during the spring practice that we attended a few weeks ago. I mean, at the same time, now you're like, okay, is there another quarterback that's in the portal that's looking for a home in April? Like, again, the season starts in August. They're entering a brand new conference. There is still no athletic director running this university. And here we are now wondering who the backup quarterback, I think we can say that safely, is going to be.
Well, Mitch, who that could be possibly might not even be in the portal right now. Jaden Rashada just entered the portal. Mm-hmm. So you just got to wait and see. Now, there's a lot of thought behind what is happening before people enter the portal. I'm not going to get into that right now, but I will say that I've seen thoughts about people tampering, and I know Kenny Dillingham is not doing that. Mm-mm. And especially after what this
the
university...
last thing we need is another
especially after...
doing things outside of the rules investigation.
So if you're thinking about, well, ASU could go look into some of these guys or whoever is also in a QB competition.
Nope.
ASU is not doing that.
Nope.
But there might be a kid that sees this news today that says, I can go to ASU. I'm battling for a second spot right now. I might be the third string on this school, and I'm battling for the second spot. I can go to ASU and be their number two guy.
I mean, that's all you really can do at this point. If you're past the window of getting high schoolers to commit to your university, then you just got to give somebody an opportunity. Or, as we mentioned, Brisson. Why don't you give the walk-on opportunity a chance? Give him a scholarship. See what he can do. You're not asking him to be the starter. Again, we're just trying to figure out depth here.
Now, what do we expect from Sam Leavitt? Well, I expect a whole heck of a lot. If ASU is really, you know, serious about, you know, it's April 18th, and like you said, it starts in August. That can creep up on you, but it's April right now, right?
They're practicing
still a long
right
time
now.
Away.
Their spring practice is next week.
Again, still a long time away, but I expect a whole heck of a lot. If they're going to name him the starting quarterback right now in April, allegedly, we don't know 100%.
Yeah, let's emphasize that they have not officially named anybody the starting QB. This is just the presumption of reporting.
Yes. So if they are going to possibly name Sam Leavitt the starting quarterback right now, April 18th, there is thought behind, okay, this is the next quarterback for the next three or four seasons here at Arizona State University, and hopefully can lead them to a Pac-12 champion or a Big 12 championship game,
The pessimistic answer, 1 year, and then finds an even bigger opportunity. I don't know if that's going to happen now that they're in a conference.
Are you doing the thing about the Stepping Stone University again, Mitch?
I'm still mad about it.
Stop it.
I'm still mad. How else do you read DJ Horn's quotes? How else do you read Jermaine Kimbrough's quotes?
Didn't you say this before DJ Horn made the comments?
At least before I saw it. I think it was Blake Neiman who put it out
there. It was like hours before he made the comments.
I don't know. I don't know when it happened.
It's crazy that you just like foresaw DJ Horn making crappy comments about ASU.
They weren't crappy comments if you listen to them. But if you really hyper-focus on what he said, it further emphasizes my argument.
Anyway,
that's it.
Mitch, to go back to my question, what do you expect?
Fine, we'll go back to your question.
What do you expect from Sam Leavitt?
Well, in ways, based off of the practice reports that we've seen and based off of what we physically got to see, I kind of expect a lot of similarities to Rashada's game. And I kind of wonder if that was the whole intent, was to get somebody who's like Rashada, but maybe comes with a different build and maybe a slightly different skill set. Because we've seen that Levitt can move. We've seen that Levitt can throw a deep ball and, more importantly, throw it accurately. That's important. And he's pretty darn accurate on his short and intermediate routes, too, which I think is super important. Here's the other thing. I don't know that they're going to ask him to throw all that much or be like our Lord and Savior kind of thing, like Jaden probably was supposed to be if he was healthy last year. Because we mentioned it in passing, the running back room is significantly improved from last year. They have easily four solid dudes who can find opportunities at reps, and maybe all of them push for like 500-yard seasons. Okay, maybe that's a stretch, but still, at least two guys with 500-yard seasons.
You look back at the spring game last year, and I don't recall if you stayed the entire time, Mitch, but me, Jesse, and Jake definitely did. What we saw was just a team that was super raw and wasn't really running many plays of substance that it looked like. A lot of it looked like a high school offense, right?
Hmm.
And it was running through a quarterback that was coming right out of high school and didn't get many reps. He was only a few weeks onto campus, so you understood. Now, Sam Levitt, he's had a lot of the first team reps in this spring, leading up to the spring game. And when you're there next week, Mitch, I hope to hear back, if you are there, I hope to hear back
put
from
me
you
on the spot on that right now.
I hope to hear back from you that he commanded the field and was a leader on the field and off the field.
I'm getting the sense, too, that I wonder if he's starting to win over some of the other guys, too. I also wonder, I love the hypotheticals game with this. What if Jaden Rashada didn't get hurt? Would he still be here?
What if he didn't get hurt last season? Would Sam Levitt even be here if he didn't get hurt last season?
I think either way, they knew that Drew Pine wasn't going to cut it for them another year. They knew that Jacob Conover wasn't going to cut it for them another year. They did have to improve the quarterback room. I think specifically going after Levitt was a big reason why, or specifically going after Levitt did play off of Rashada getting hurt. That's what I meant to say. If it's any other quarterback off of a Rashada healthy season, but they still didn't have an appeasable record, maybe we're talking about this differently. I don't know. There's so many different rabbit holes to this. But at the end of the day, it's just another big name out of high school that's leaving and looking for bigger and better opportunities.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add to this conversation
before we move on
to the football and basketball coaching carousel? All right, real quick. Rashad Samples, Jermaine Kimbrough out, as you mentioned before.
One in football and one in basketball. Just what we needed. Just two coaches from two different sports leaving.
Hey, but Hines Ward and Jairus Howard are in. So,
shout out Doug Tamarow, who I know is super duper thrilled about getting to work every day with Hines Ward now.
Okay.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
How many times have we brought up the fact that he's a Pittsburgh fan on this podcast? Way too much.
I don't know. Did you hear the quote from Kenny Dillingham, by the way?
I would love to hear it if I,
I don't have it physically, but yes. I'm going to reiterate. Maybe we can edit it in post. I don't want to. Okay. So to reiterate, this was after, I think, Ward's first official practice as the new wide receivers coach. And Kenny had joked that there was a snafu in the contract language and that Hines had to admit that Santonio Holmes only got 1 foot down in the Super Bowl against the Cardinals.
That was obviously 2 feet.
No, don't you do this. Don't you know who we're talking to?
Okay.
It was a fun
Larry
little,
scored too early.
It was a fun little joke. Oh, no. It was a fun
he should have gone
joke.
Down on the one.
It was a fun little banter there. I thought that was great.
Larry should have gone down on the one. Anyway, so those are the changes there. Elijah Badgers look good in spring practice is what
The Jermaine Kimbrough one really bothers me.
Why?
And I know that Jesse...
Oh, you really want to talk about this?
Jesse and I got into an off-the-air or off-the-books fight about... Well,
off-the-books?
So Jermaine Kimbrough's going to GCU. And my argument was, oh, great. So he's doing another stepping stone thing and this is a greater opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And Jesse's argument was, GCU's not a better school. My argument is, well, think about what their biggest moneymaker is outside of their actual institution. It's their basketball teams. It's their basketball programs.
And their donors.
I mean,
they have
but they don't,
Jerry Colangelo.
They don't have football. Basketball is their, it's their golden goose. That's the expression. Basketball is the most important thing for GCU athletics. Whereas, as we've come to understand, it's not nearly as important here.
if we had this conversation 2 years ago when we started this podcast,
we'd be
I would be like, Mitch, what are you talking about? Right now, Mitch, you weren't here, so I would be talking to you.
Don't throw me under the bus.
I would be talking to you in the producer's room down the hall. But like, that's crazy to think about, Mitch. It's the school that we don't even like think about. And like, I don't know, like we know people that have gone to GCU. It's a good school. I'm happy for,
we've had ASU transfers go to GCU.
Yeah.
Duke Brennan right now, as far as I know, is still at GCU.
And they've had better finishes than Bobby Hurley.
They finished in the round of 32 this year.
Yep. So again, I know that bothers you, but this whole basketball team bothers me sometimes.
We can move on now. There's another basketball thing we have to hit on for sure.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Xavier Scarron, he picked ASU, the 2025 safety, coming over here for, they need to continue to
get for Kenny. For
they
sure.
need to continue to rebuild that secondary because that was something they, that I they mean, lost
they,
what, this offseason.
They lost like three of their starters out of their nickel package, right? Mm-hmm. With Jordan Clark going to Notre Dame, most notably.
So that'll be a huge get next year when he comes.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2025 receiver and top Arizona prospect, Cooper Perry. He picked Oregon over ASU and Oklahoma.
So close.
Not really.
Close. He'll get to work with Rashad Samples in Oregon. So that's cool. Yay.
All right. Now to the basketball news. This guy. Point to him, Mitch.
Here, this guy.
And if you're not watching on the YouTube channel, why aren't you?
Plus, you can see the interview that Burns and Gambo had with Alex Morello today.
There you go.
Yeah. Promote the YouTube.
You can find all of our stuff on the Arizona Sports app and arizonasports.com. Just click on the video tab and you'll find every single podcast and video that we do on the YouTube channel. And you can see Mitch pointing at Frankie Collins, who has made his decision.
Yes.
Where is he going, Mitch?
He's made his decision. And he's not going to be too far from Arizona State, at least.
He'll be playing them.
Competitively speaking.
Two times a year.
He's going to TCU.
Hey, you know what they say, Mitch? If you can't beat them.
This is definitely the new Big 12 rival for Arizona State, is it not? They beat them in that heartbreaker buzzer beater in the round of 64 a couple of years ago. They beat the tar out of them in Dallas-Fort Worth last year.
That was crappy, though.
Of course it was crappy. Because now you got to play them again next year.
Because they were winning by, like, what, 7 points, and they had that whole technical foul instance that happened in that game?
Yep.
Whatever. I don't want to talk about that.
And now Frankie's a part of that. So, yeah. Look, if it's me, I'm immediately pointing at TCU as, like, our new big rival in the Big 12.
Our big rival 12?
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
Sorry. Yeah, so that's...
I do want to emphasize this, though.
Please.
I'm not upset that Frankie decided to go to TCU, and I'm not upset that Frankie decided to leave. I'm almost happy that he decided to leave. But not because I didn't think he was valuable on the floor, not that I think he wasn't valuable in any way, shape, or form to this program. The biggest thing is that this program was not able to support Frankie in terms of what he's hoping to do. And I am glad that he's going to a place where he can hopefully propel and uplift his hopeful MBA career. Because I'm sure that's what he's looking for. But I will emphasize that it is a bummer that it has to end this way. Like almost every other player nowadays.
All-time leader in steals at Arizona State University. All-time leader, season leader.
Single season steals.
Well, congratulations on a great career here at ASU. We will miss you, Frankie.
Yeah. Except when you play us. Then we won't miss you.
We play on the team?
Stop it.
Now let's go to more transfer news.
Do you want to hit the others that are leaving, or do you want to hit on some of the guys that are coming
in? Both. Bashir Jihad, he is coming here.
That seems to be the significant one so far.
So our good friend Damon Allred, who sometimes joins us on this podcast, he did a little write-up on ArizonaSports.com. You can look at the numbers. You can say 18.6 per game, 8 rebounds. That's great. But he shot 45% from the field and 35% from three, which
it's actually not too terrible.
In college basketball, that's good.
Yeah. And do we account for the fact that it was while he was at Ball State, or do we at least give credit to the fact that the numbers are still good?
I think you can look at the other schools that he was considering and say, okay, yeah, That's good. I mean, he was considering UCF, Ohio State, Cal, Missouri, and Virginia Tech, as well as Dayton. I mean, those are all pretty good schools that you would say ASU can compete with at a basketball level. So I'm pretty happy that ASU was able to secure his talents. And hopefully he can shoot free throws, because ASU, God knows they can use that.
It's our running gag now, is anytime that Damon points out a hot bucket transfer to us, Jesse will ask, what's his free throw percentage?
You know what's sad is I just, you know, started to figure out how to say Bryant Salabanga's name.
And now he's leaving. Along with a whole bunch of other people.
Okay, tell me.
Kamari Lands is leaving. Zane Meeks is leaving as well.
Neither of those guys played very much.
Have we heard,
Lands played a little bit more than Meeks.
Have we heard anything about where Jemiah Neal's going next, by the way? I'm not asking you to look it up now.
I'm on it. Stall.
Okay, I will stall and talk about how I'm very confused about Kamari Lands' decision to depart, because he wasn't coming in from Louisville with all that great numbers, and then he didn't have all that great numbers here at Arizona State when given a much larger and more significant role here in comparison to his time at Louisville. So I hope you find what you're looking for, respectfully. That's the most I have to say about that. Bummed about Salabanga. If anything, that kind of weakens the front court a little bit. So now you're down to basically just Sean Phillips, because Alonzo Gaffney's graduating and now Salabanga is departing. Zane Meeks is departing. So the front court is now severely decimated and you're left with Sean Phillips. And we don't even know if he's decided on whether or not he wants to stay. And I'm not saying like we're going to get a late announcement or anything, but you never know these days. That's kind of the world that we're living in.
I don't know what's going on in Jemiah O'Neal. Oh.
Oh?
No, that was from last year.
Oh, don't scare me like that.
It said he withdraws from the transfer portal, but that was last year.
Yeah, that was definitely last year.
It says, you know, as a prospect, he was an 87 rated with 3 stars, and now as a transfer, he's 89 rated with 3 stars. That's according to 24/7
Sports. I mean, look, he's super-duper valuable. He was, like, the team's leading rebounder at one point.
Did you just use super-duper on a podcast?
Super-duper. Super-duper fantastic, eh?
You know, that means we're starting to get tired when Mitch starts to use super duper on a
podcast.
Well,
we've also been at it for quite a few hours beyond this, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Austin Madison, he visited last weekend. He went to Missouri State last year via Oklahoma.
Okay.
So an interesting character, some would say, I guess.
I mean, look, let's cut and point this. We know that there's names out there. We know that there are names leaving. This is basically what it's going to be like for Bobby Hurley until there's some financial support for this particular institution, right? He's every year going to have to reconstruct this roster so that it's playable come time that October or November rolls around. And we're going to have to work with the conditions of Desert Financial Arena. We're going to have to work with any sort of NIL that's available to these players, and going to have to work with the fact that maybe this team, just because of the lack of consistency, won't be all that good year in and year out.
Madsen averaged, 17.5 points per game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, but he shot 42% from the field, and that's also very good for a guard that's 6'2" and just 150 pounds soaking wet.
They got to replace their Frankie, right?
Yeah.
Braylon Green has left too, so there's not really a lot of depth at that guard position. The only guy that I'm aware of that is still around and is probably going to be the most significant part of next year's team is Adam Miller.
Yeah.
They should make him a significant part of the
team. I mean, Bobby fought so hard to make sure that kid played this year. And
if that wasn't enough to convince you to stay around, I don't know what the hell can.
So I'm super happy that he, you know, was able to play this year. He looked good at times. He looked like he struggled to shoot at times, which we knew was going to happen because he was not a great shooter when he was at LSU.
He got a lot better this year, though. In my opinion.
But it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of guys in the portal, that's what you're going to have to expect when you talk about ASU basketball moving forward. It's just what happens with the men's team.
Here's my charge. You have to give the freshmen more run. If you wanted them enough to bring them to this university, you have to give them more run.
Listen.
You have to. Otherwise, you're not going to find consistency year in and year out.
This team under Bobby Hurley has been at its best when he plays freshmen.
Austin Nunez, Braylon Green, Tayshaun Cherry,
Remy Martin,
Akil Watson. Like, go on. Trey Holder. I mean, it was before Bobby, but Trey Holder started as a freshman for Herb Sendek.
Yes.
They... They have to utilize their freshmen. That's the only way they're going to get consistency.
I mean, Duke Brennan last year, too.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many guys you can point to and say, those guys worked out as freshmen. You got to give them chances. And maybe Bobby just didn't trust this class this year.
Otherwise, but we're going to get situations like Euros Plavsic, or however you pronounce his name, where he goes to Tennessee and he's like one of the best big men in the country. Well, gee, wouldn't that have been nice to have instead of him just sitting on the bench? Sorry, my rant's over.
It's okay. Journey Thompson, she's in.
Yeah, women's.
Yeah.
Got some movement there, too.
I'm really upset about Triana Crisp, though, because she was really coming into her own this year.
They've got three significant seniors leaving, too. We've, of course, mentioned Jaden Simmons is exploring an opportunity in her
1,000 career points in her career.
They will get Ty Skinner back, I presume. I don't think I've heard anything about her intentions to leave or not, but of course, because of the injury from last year, she still has another year of eligibility.
And again, she came over here from Delaware with Coach A. So
she wants to be with Coach A.
Mm-hmm.
And we, look, the record doesn't really speak for itself, but there has been absolute noticeable improvement from year one to year two with Coach A.
Yeah.
Year three, though, has to be like, you got to at least go 500 in this conference. I know it's a tough conference. You have to try and go 500.
And who knows what this new athletic director, whoever it is. Still waiting. It's 7:30 on a Thursday here. Whoever it is, who knows what they're going to say about each of these programs. If he or she is going to look at this school and what's going on in athletics and say, this needs to be better. This coach, maybe not the right way to, you know, can't move forward. This person got to move on. Who knows? They're going to want to do their own thing, make their own mark, and we'll see what happens if and when they get here. last thing to note, Mitch, is that Semptenfelter, did I say it right?
TJ Semptenfelter, which I just saw this just before we were about to hop on.
He's transferring. That's the goaltender for ASU hockey.
He
was great this past season.
Every single sport, apparently. He's leaving. ASU, stepping stone opportunity. Yes, I'm going to say stepping stone opportunity because that's what it feels like. Granted, though, ASU, they started off really hot and then completely faltered in the final couple of months and missed out on Frozen Four.
Still top 20 team in the nation to end the season, which is something to look forward to. And I know we were like, this is the year that they have to kind of make the tournament, and they didn't, but you can still see the improvement year after year. I know it was a little bit of a step back after they did make the tournament in 2019.
This program still has the recognition of, It's a competitive hockey team in the desert.
The only hockey team in the desert.
Who could beat that, right? I get it if you want to go to Alaska and some great opportunities in Alaska and the upper northeast, but
and Denver just won the Frozen Four.
Yeah,
so.
The Pios. I follow people in Denver, so that's why I knew.
you knew exactly what their nickname was.
Yes, because they're like a, growing up, they were like a powerhouse. The hockey's their thing.
Go ahead.
They just have to push the extra needle. Like, utilize the whole sleeping giant recruiting pitch and emphasize how great it is to play hockey in the desert.
Utilize that you have an NHL facility now because you're taking
formerly NHL facility. Yeah,
you're taking it over probably on
maybe
the other side.
Maybe an AHL facility. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Don't listen to me on that.
17-21 baseball team right now. What do you think?
It's okay. they basically, if I'm not mistaken, they've lost new Contratus for the season because of recurring back issues, if I'm not mistaken, which that sucks.
This team just feels like it's going to finish 500.
Jacob Campos, you would think he'd be hitting well. You keep emphasizing the pitching and how young it is.
Yes.
We've seen it multiple times this year.
Thank you.
I don't think this should
be. I mean, just look at how many runs they give up, Mitch.
I want to emphasize, I don't think this is a reason to put Willie Bloomquist on the hot seat.
No. We don't know who the athletic director is, so we don't know what their thought process is going to be with each of these squads and their coaching staffs.
Yep. How's softball doing? How's Megan Bartlett's career?
You're putting me on the spot again? Look at how many runs this team is giving up, right?
Like, since
April 5th, 13, 9, 9, 3, 10,
ooh,
3, 11, 1. 14.
3-1. Okay.
14.
So three games out of the
split with Cal State Fullerton. They split with Cal State Fullerton this week. That was a good split.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then they got a big week coming up. because they got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, UCLA in LA, and then they come back here to Muni, youth baseball weekend, if you want to go check it out. Friday,
they're giving out Ether bobbleheads one of these nights too.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you aren't going to the Suns game on Friday and Sunday, and you aren't going to ASU spring practice on Friday.
Friday evening too.
Yes, if you aren't going, if you aren't going to either of those, you can check out ASU versus USC.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
Also, the Bobby Winkle statue was revealed, I think, last week too. ASU baseball legend. Let's go.
Sleeping giant.
All right, I'm done. Can you close this out, please?
Eight. Okay, the softball team is 18-22. So, like, similar record to the baseball team.
What's Trisha Ford up to? Don't look that up, please.
Let's see what they have coming up. At number 19, Arizona, tomorrow. So they got Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Tucson. Big weekend for the ladies.
Territorial Cup. Not a lot of Territorial Cups won this year by Arizona State, unfortunately.
This was a long episode, Mitch, but it was urgent. We needed to do it.
It was totally urgent. Now I'm wiped out.
I was already wiped out. We'll see y'all next time. Please, if you haven't followed us yet on all social media, you can find us on every single platform at AZ Sports Devils. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you can find almost every single one of these episodes if you go to the Arizona Sports app or YouTube channel. If you just click on the video tab, that's where you can find it. Super simple.
Hyperlinks, baby. Hyperlinks.
It's super easy. I can't even tell you how easy it is. I could teach my grandmother how to do it. That's how easy it is.
It's so easy. Jeremy's getting a headache just thinking about it.
A caveman can do it. All right. That's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. For Mitch Heraldis, I'm Jeremy Schnell. We will talk to you next time. We'll be right back.